It's Monday, November 12th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network, show number 629, and boy, do we have a hard time getting started tonight. We got a few articles on tap tonight. Of course, these are not inclusive. Going to talk about Google TV coming to Samsung. Netflix makes some changes. Galaxy Tab selling like hotcakes. And we're going to talk a little bit about some news about Wi-Fi killing trees. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Hello and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Albuquerque, New Mexico, for our last show before I head back to Honolulu, and coming to you via the portable podcasting studio. And all the gear is shipped, so what I'm really sitting here with tonight is my normal travel kit. And the fancy camera's gone, the TriCaster's gone, the hotel room is empty and as compared to how it was a few days ago, so I think the maids are a little happier. And in all quiet honesty, I am ready. I am way ready to head home and see my kids and see my wife and pet my dog and just sleep in my own bed and eat food from my own table. You guys know how it is, but... 23 long days here in Albuquerque. I've had a great time, really have. Talk about that here in a little bit more in a minute. But, of course, if you're new to the show, hey, thanks for coming and hanging out with me today. Thanks for watching or listening, depending on how you're connecting with the show. And, of course, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show, those of you that are part of the Ohana, thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for staying subscribed. I tell you, it's really interesting as I transition from basically the mode of, you know, working here in the hotel room and getting ready to go home. You know, I think about, okay, so get home, get the studio reconfigured, get it set up for the new system, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be working on Thanksgiving. No, I will take Thanksgiving off, but the rest of the weekend I'll be working. So haven't decided yet whether I'm going to be doing a show on Friday or not. Definitely we'll be having our Saturday morning tech show coming up this Saturday, so I'll have some guests in, and we'll kind of get back on track with that. Of course, I've made some announcements here over the last couple of days about the 24-hour podcast that's forthcoming, so make sure, you know, basically there's an article about it at geeknewscentral.com. I'm actually in the process of right now of moving 24hrpodcast.com to a new site, to basically bringing it back to my server, and getting a little bit control of the theme on it. So it's going to be ugly for a few days, but I'll get it cleaned up and have that domain up and running again. But most importantly, I guess for all of you that are tuned in to the show, I hope you guys have enjoyed my on-the-road shows. I'm definitely, again, really excited about getting back in their full-time studio and at home. But lots of things going on here, and of course, one thing that I want to, you know, take a moment and just say thank you to all of you, because we're not going to do a Thanksgiving show. You know, all of you that tune in from countries, from 178 countries worldwide, again, all of you that have been subscribed to the show forever, you know, thank you so very much. And, you know, I'm thankful that you're part of the audience and part of the family here. It really is important to me. It really, really is. You guys are basically an extension to my family. And it's just something that has become a part of me. And I actually got to contemplating on this a little bit yesterday about really how much, you know, my life has revolved around this new media space and how much I've sacrificed, how much my family has sacrificed. Don't get me wrong, there has been some very good rewards to come out of it as well. And I'm thankful for that and thankful to have a healthy family. And I know many of you out there are still struggling, maybe looking for a job or something to that effect. My well wishes and prayers are out for all of you this Thanksgiving holiday. And thanks for being here. And thanks for being part of FanFlow. I'm thankful that, again, that you're part of my audience. It's been a interesting trip from the perspective of when you have no distractions. It's a remarkable how much work you can actually get done. And I've actually been carrying a task list of everything that I have been accomplished, that I've accomplished here on travel. And when you have your evenings essentially free to continue to work and be creative, it's really helpful. But at the same point, there is that huge sacrifice for being on travel. And hopefully, I think I may have a two-day trip in December. I don't think that's about all I've got planned for December. And then, of course, we're going to be heading out to CES in January and starting the whole rat race for that. But it's really allowed me to reorganize and get a lot of stuff done. And from that perspective, it's been good. Just so that those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, I'm kind of reminiscing here a little bit, and I apologize, but it is kind of I'm just kind of glad to be getting out of here. But we got a lot of tech to talk about tonight, so let me go ahead and get through the rest of my comments here. Hey, make sure you get subscribed to the show. You'll find a link to it on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Make sure that, of course, you subscribe to the newsletter. That way you'll get everything that I talk about during the show delivered directly to your inbox. That will guarantee that you'll never miss an episode. And, you know, definitely think about subscribing as well. You know, that subscription to the show guarantees it'll be in that mobile device each day that you're tied in here. Make sure you check out live.geeknewscentral.com. The podcast award nominations have closed, so we are now in the review stage. I'll be making the announcement on Sunday on the slate of shows that will be making the in line for the final voting. So that's a huge monumental project. It's a lot to get done in a week. I was going through and separating out all the databases today, getting those organized and some of those shipped off to some of our volunteers. A huge amount of work to be done, and it falls really at a bad time. Poor planning on my part, but I'm trying to crunch the process up, and no matter what, by Sunday we'll be making the announcement on the shows that make the slate. Hey, if you're watching the show on Roku, make sure you give the old app there a 5-star. That would definitely be appreciated. That helps us build ranking on Roku and Boxy, and our Samsung IPTV app is coming soon. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk to Angelo about that tomorrow, find out where he's at in that development. I think we're done. I think it's just a matter now of getting it through their review process. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And if you're over at GoDaddy.com and you're looking for a Christmas gift, I tell you what a better way than to give a domain name and a hosting account to someone that maybe needs a fresh start or someone that needs to launch a new website. So consider going over to GoDaddy.com and you do some Christmas shopping over there. And when you get to that checkout counter, use my promo codes Todd. It'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. You can find all my great GoDaddy codes at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. One thing I wanted to talk about tonight just a little bit. I got an email. The last show was entitled No Free Rides. And I basically was asked by one of the listeners of the show that I think is also a media creator. Basically, the question was asked to me, Todd, why the about face? You know, you've given giveaways before. You know, we have not for a very long time taken actual product that was given to me by a vendor and turned that around and gave it away. And what I really started to realize as I was doing research for my presentation at Blog World back in October was the number of shows and the number of sites that were really selling their soul for, how I like to call it, for a cup of coffee, for a $5 product. And they were basically, you know, the company would say, hey, we'll give you you know, a little, we'll give you a headphone and for you to use for yourself. And then we're going to give you another headphone that you can give away to your audience. And when you get done with the headphone, make sure you write a nice review up for it. And you may have to send that back or maybe not. But that's their ploy. They always give you the product, and they never ask for the product back. A few do if it's a big item like a laptop. Now, while I don't mind writing reviews on products and services, and the team at Geekness Central does that all the time, we have very clear guidelines on basically making a statement on when a product has been provided for free for review. And oftentimes, the products that we review at Geek News Central are significantly large products that do have to go back to the manufacturers, printers, laptops, different types of devices, phones, and so forth. Those all go back. They're not like a little mouse that you would receive, and you do, you know, how can you do a review on a mouse? But what has happened is that companies are now using new media creators and bloggers as a way to do their marketing without spending hardly any money whatsoever. They hire a PR firm. The PR firm gets a bunch of product. The PR firm finds sites that will write about the product and service. And in turn, they get some stuff and they do some giveaways. Now, for smaller shows that are not making any money on advertising, and maybe their livelihood is not dependent upon it, you know, that's not maybe not such a bad thing. You get some free stuff, kind of makes the hobby worthwhile. But here at this show, I made this show from day one a business, and it's a business that is revolves around me earning a paycheck. And you guys that have been with the show from the very beginning understand this because I talked about it in the early days of the show, the goals. And what I have found is that major companies now, I was just pitched a couple of days ago by a Fortune 50 company to do basically a lot of work, maybe 40 hours worth of work, reviewing a product, going through and using it, doing different things, for the privilege of getting that product for free for about 90 days. And at the same time, they wanted me to write multiple articles about that product on my website for absolutely no compensation whatsoever besides access to the application. Now, if I would have went out and paid for the access to that same exact application, it would have been about maybe $125 is what it would have cost me for the 90 days of access to that content. So if you look at do the hours and do the math. So let's say it was $125 worth of value and you're going to spend about 40 hours on it. You are essentially working for much less than minimum wage. You know, you're working at a very low, low, low price. And the compensation value, based upon my time, the value of you as an audience, the value of the website, didn't make a lot of sense to me. Now, you know, I went back to that vendor and I said, listen, if you want to sponsor the show for a month and pay our book rate for the podcast, I would be happy to spend the 40 hours reviewing your product, going through it, and doing a very comprehensive multi-article review of your stuff. And here's how much that is going to cost you. Oh, no, 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 we can't do that. We can't pay for that. That's not in our budget. Well, I'm sorry, my time is not in the budget either to do this. So while in the past we have given away products, and I'm not going to say that we will never do that again, but I'm going to say that when a company like Buckyballs comes to me and says that they're going to give me $20 worth of product and they want me to run a contest and do a big promotion for a giveaway on some little trinket stuff, no, I'm not going to do that. And I understand that may be attractive to some bloggers and podcasters. That's fine. That's the stage that their business is at and it can afford to do that. So I just wanted to be clear because we have a lot of content creators that listen to the show and we're, you know, one in particular asked my position on this. So again, I am, there has to be a good trade-off, okay? And my time is valuable. Your time is valuable. I can, you guys trust me to give you guys good reviews on products and services, and that's what we built the site on, and that's why we continue to grow traffic and have a tremendous amount of website views. So it's just one of those things where I guess as the business has evolved, I've evolved, and I'm just trying to get content creators to make them understand if you make that choice, you do it understandingly what you've given up in time, value, and so forth. So enough on that, but I just wanted to address that because I had gotten that email. And I'll probably go more into this on the 24-hour podcast. We can spend as much time as we want on the topic. But you guys came for tech, so let's get into the tech. Let's take care of the last little business here that does keep the lights on. And they do pay for the privilege of being presented to you in this show. We're going to talk about GoToMeeting. Like most of America, we're going to be traveling this holiday season, right? Problem for many of us is that this quarter is, man, it's busy. But it's also time where we have to continue to do business. You need a tool that will help you conduct business even when you're not really in the office or you can't be face-to-face with clients or colleagues. I recommend the online meeting service GoToMeeting. Collaborate on documents in real time, give engaging sales presentations. Really, it's simple. After a quick two-minute download, a couple clicks of the button, you're installed, you're ready to go, and really, you start that meeting with a single click. They can get in on the conference call with you. They can see your screen. You can see theirs. It's a very simple product to use. I have people come in cold turkey and do presentations, take control of the meetings. It is an absolute joy to use the online meeting service known as GoToMeeting. As a listener of this show, you can get a 45-day free trial. 45 days to try it for free with unlimited meetings. All you got to do is GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Again, this is the key. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST and get your free 45-day trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime valued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast and for bringing us such a great product. Okay, let me make sure my list. I kind of jumped around today at the beginning of the meeting. I was a little flustered. I had a little trouble getting started tonight, especially on the video stream. I know you guys on the audio side don't care, but let's make sure I've got all this up here. Those of you that are up on Ustream with us, thanks for being here tonight with me, of course. And, of course, those of you on the Roku and Boxy that are watching later, thanks for being here as well. All right, let me go ahead and bust open Chrome. Okay, this whole backscatter thing with the TSA, we've talked this to death, but I thought I would share just a couple of things with you tonight. You may have seen a news article talking about a young man that was supposedly strip searched at a TSA checkpoint. That was bogus. The young man was not strip searched. He basically, his father was trying to help the process along and took his shirt off. TSA did not do that. So it was caught on videotape. People were freaking out, of course, as they would as it was taken out of context. So there's pretty good write-up on it all over the place. I'm not going to probably even link up to it. But one thing that I did see that was kind of funny today was about a sale and a promotion by companies here in the United States that sell kilts. The kilt salespeople are promoting that you come in and buy a kilt and go commando and then enjoy your time at TSA and get the, the pat down. So I wonder how they're going to handle true Scots wearing a kilt. They're wearing in its traditional way. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think that would be pressing it too far, and I would not probably follow this. I think it's kind of funny here. This is a promotion. Wearing a kilt, oh my gosh, to go through the TSA check line. Not my idea of a fun time. Hey, I want to call your attention to a website at TriggerPit.com. They've got some incredible pictures from the International Space Station by NASA astronaut, I guess his last name is Wheelock, Wheelock. And he's got some stuff when he's going out to the pad and a lot of just absolutely stunning pictures here from space. I always love seeing these because of different perspectives. And I have the link up in the show notes. This one image, it just is amazing where they're in the cupola module. And that's the one that has all the different windows. It's gorgeous. What a person wouldn't give to go. But link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. Again, TriggerPit.com is the website. Hey, as we started to talk about at the beginning of the show, we're going to talk about Samsung. And this really surprised me. There's a rumor out that Samsung is going to integrate Google TV It's rumored to be integrating it into its television sets, and with a possible announcement in January. Now, based on everything I've heard, I would be very surprised if this was a true rumor. I know that Samsung is really about controlling their, you know, basically controlling their own marketplace, controlling their own IPTV and channels and so forth. I'll tell you the amount of time that we took to go through the negotiations and lawyer work and paperwork to get our app into the Samsung ecosphere was significant. So it's interesting to see if they would do this, because this would probably increase the cost of Samsung sets by, you know, a factor of $200 or $300 based on the hardware load that they're going to need. We'll see. We'll see if this is the case. But I'm not holding my breath on this one at all. All right, those of you that are in the techies, if you are have a bachelor's degree and you think that you may be a good candidate for Google, Google is hiring 2,000 people. So we're at dondodge.typepad.com. He's got a link up to the job announcements. And so again, 2,000 premier jobs available at Google. So they're hiring. And he talks about how you can stand out and really to go for it. So if any of you are thinking about applying for a job at Google, link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. But what a great job. If you were, you know, been off work for a while, you know, it would be worthy to put in a, you know, just, you know, even if you don't think you have a chance, it'd be worthy to put in a resume and, you know, hopefully make it to even round one just for the simple experience of it. I think it would be really cool. Hey, over on DownloadSquad.com, this is an amazing announcement today. Google Cloud Connect, what it does is the Google Cloud Connect plugin connects Microsoft Office to your Google Docs. Now, you know, Google's really been working hard to make an impact so that you will start using Google Docs instead of using your Microsoft Office product. Now, I'll be honest with you. I had a spreadsheet that I was working on Sunday that was very complex. Lots of cross-component formulas. It was, you know, everything layered out, multiple pages all tied together. And there's no way I think I could have ever done that spreadsheet on, you know, on Google Docs in their spreadsheet app. I just don't think I could have done it. And maybe. But what they've done here, and if you're working on what I would consider standard Word documents, standard spreadsheets, not with a lot of, you know, real super complex formulas and so forth, I think you would do okay. But what this does is Google Connect really interacts with Excel and Word, and it basically allows you to be able to send docs from, or send stuff from your document into Google Docs. And I think it's pretty cool from that standpoint, because you can have something on the desktop and you also have a hard copy backup. But right now, there's only a preview of Cloud Connect. It's only available via limited signups via Google Apps. So it's available for business customers currently, but apparently it's going to be available for everyone soon when it launches. But this should make the old folks at Microsoft raise their eyebrows just a little bit. Okay, over on ehomeupgrade.com, announcement today by Netflix. Netflix has added a streaming-only plan for $7.99 per month. So if you've been getting DVDs and you're doing streaming and you don't want the DVDs anymore, you can switch to the $7.99 streaming-only plan. But it has increased the prices on all of its other plans. And what it's, they basically increased is $1. So I'm on a 2DV plan, paying $13.99 a month, and now I'll be paying $14.99. To me, it's well worth it. It's well worth even the increase in $1 in price. I kind of was wondering if this was going to happen based upon really the cost of, if you consider the cost of bandwidth and everything else, I just wonder how they make money at $8 a month on streaming. It just, it really surprises me that they're able to make money on that. But you know, I guess it's all in volume. You move that much data, you can probably demand a pretty high price. Hey, of course, today I plugged my iPhone into iTunes, was doing a sync on it to get ready for my airplane ride home. There's a bunch of podcasts I need to get caught up on, and announced that I wasn't even reading news on the web when I basically said, hey, there's an update available. So I went through about the 30-minute process to update my phone and said, I bet you there's one available for the iPad. So I updated that. So iOS 4.2 has arrived. It's added multitasking, game center, and AirPlay capabilities with some limitations. You can also update your Apple TV as well. So when I get home, you can believe me, I'm going to be trying the AirPlay and see how it works, crossing, pushing videos to start on the Apple TV from my iPhone or my iPad to see how it works up. But there's a good demo here at eHome Upgrade. So just be aware there is an upgrade available. If you haven't synced your phone in a little while, this may be a good time to do that. Make sure you back up, of course, before you do so. Hey, Samsung has said that it sold 600,000 Galaxy Tabs worldwide. This is huge. Samsung said it expected to sell 1 million Galaxy Tabs this year, and it looks like it may not be far off with hitting 600K already. That's less than a month after launch. That includes 30,000 units sold in Korea since its November 14th launch there. So they're not dishing out all of the numbers for the entire world. I have heard a lot of people talking positively about this tablet. So any of you have got it? Have you been playing with it? I know that I have a couple of folks that I work with periodically that are big Droid users right now, and they're eyeing a lot of these different apps, basically, that they're coming out from Samsung and other folks as well. So love to hear you guys. This, you know, as when I played with it, it felt like the device was heavy to me. It felt heavier than the iPad, and the wider screen than the iPad over the Samsung Galaxy. So love to hear you guys' feedback as well. Of course, if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, boy, oh boy. Please, Verizon, please come to Hawaii and install Fios, because Verizon has now introduced a new data plan for Fios customers, 150 down, 35 megs up, all for the very low price of $200 a month. Wow. First, this new speed is available today for the majority of Fios customers in 12 states and the District of Columbia, with more and more to get it in due time. So again, it's available for $194.99 or two bills when purchased with a one-year service agreement. Can I have two, please? Oh, 150 down, 35 megs up is what really excites me. Hey, you guys know I'm a big fan of Vudu as well. I've had a Vudu box before. I had everything else, and our Vudu app is done. We're just waiting for the folks at Vudu to release their app store. I mean, it's finished. It's ready. It's approved. It's ready to go. But Vudu has is expanding into more devices. Vudu's 1080p movie streaming is moving to Panasonic's VeraCast Blu-ray players. So if you pick up a Panasonic Vera, V-I-E-R-A, VeraCast Blu-ray player, you'll get Vudu built in. So we're right now they've put available Twitter, Pandora, Picasa, YouTube, Fox Sports, and a few other available channels within it, plus of course with you can get movies on demand and so forth, which are really probably the best quality of all the players out there. But we just you know, Vudu's in a lot of devices already. It's that company that just kind of keeps out there hammering away. We just wish they would open it up to you know, all the apps. All right, as I talked about on the website, 5th annual 24-hour podcast announcement, we're going to be, if everything goes right and my schedule doesn't get jacked up, my plan is to do the 24-hour podcast starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, December 18th, going through 11 a.m. Eastern on December 19th, full 24 hours of goodness, lots of new media talk, social media, we'll be talking podcasting, we'll be talking tech. I have an actual application on the website that if you want to be a participant in the show, basically you put your name, your show name if you have one, your website URL, topics you'd like to talk to me about, dates you'd like to appear in some different time hacks. Please consider the 19th. The 19th's a great date to be on that show, and a lot of folks are trying to get in on the 18th. But the morning of the 19th, about the 5 hours before we're done, are really some prime times too. So I have a link up to this if you want to be a participant. If you're a new media creator, be a participant in the 24-hour podcast. I can have as many as two guests on per segment. I think this year we're going to be going for 30 minute to 1 hour segments, with some folks getting a little longer segments during the middle of the night like we've done in the past. All right, Black Friday, boy oh boy. I know that many of you are excited about going out shopping. Not me. Ladies that listen to the show, are you going out on Black Friday? Are you going to make the rounds, or are you going to wait to Cyber Monday? Well, if your emails are probably already overflowing like mine. Everyone's sending me ads, telling me about these great deals. But if you're looking to pick up some music, Amazon has some week of discounts here where they're giving albums at the low price of $3.99. So if you like Kanye West, if you like My Chemical Romance, no Libra Scale, Robin Body Talk, I don't even know who these folks are. Dane Cook, I Did My Best. These are all albums that are available for $3.99. They're going to be doing five albums every day at $3.99. You can get the, you know, all the tracks. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. This was from the folks at MakingWindowsEasy.com. Hey, TiVo has announced that they are going to be unveiling their own DVR-controlling iPad app. So you're going to be able to go up on the App Store, download the DVR-controlling iPad app, and really control and manage your TiVo remotely. You're going to be able to program it and set it up how you want to record and so forth. People are pretty excited about this. I'm not a TiVo user, but if you are, love to hear what you think about this as you know, with these features that they've made available. And I believe, again, it's for the iPad. I don't know if they actually have one for the iPhone or not. But you can set up TV and TVO recordings, work within their app store as well. That's a walled garden. We'd love to get on the TiVo as well, but we haven't really figured out how to break that seal yet. And if you got any friends over at TiVo, I'd love to have a connection over there. On the last show, we talked about the new Time Warner cable packages. And I told you that, boy, I thought this might be interesting because, you know, they were making a lower price available because you weren't going to get ESPN and some of the other sports networks. But I said, well, I'd really have to see what else that they made or reduced from the normal cable package. And after I read what channels they're cutting, it's a deal killer. You know, the cheaper package sounded enticing at $50 versus their $72 for their normal package. But what they exclude includes CNBC, Comedy Central, ESPN, ESPN2, Food Network, that's a deal killer for me, MSNBC, MSG, SNY, Sci-Fi, and here's the major two, TLC, TNT, and Yes Network. TLC and TNT, the Learning Channel is about the only channel I'm on half the time. Besides that, and you know, some of the other educational stuff and Discovery and so forth. But no wonder it's a $22 savings. They took the meat out of the actual offering. I could have lived without the Food Network, and I definitely could live without MSNBC. I don't know if I'd have wanted to live without the Sci-Fi Network, TLC, or TNT. Probably not CNBC, but It's a deal killer here. I just can't see how my wife would kill me because there's several things she watches on TLC that would definitely not pass the Todd Kill the Channel smell test. That's for sure. Many of you that have GM cars have OnStar. Wouldn't you like to have that in your vehicle? I know my Mazda does not have any type of OnStar-like service. I've always thought that GM has got a great product there with OnStar. There's a new company out called Mavizon, M-A-V-I-Z-O-N, M-A-V-I-Z-O-N. Mavizon Autobot provides OnStar-like features for your non-GM vehicles. And what this basically does, it's a little module that plugs into there's a little diagnostic port. It plugs in there, and this thing integrates with your mobile phone. And it can... It's pretty cool what it does. It monitors vehicle diagnostics, provides alerts for things like... It works with vehicles supposedly 1996 or newer. Of course, it relies on that dongle to plug into your OBD-II onboard diagnostic port. It's going to be available next year. The Autobot kit's going to cost around $300 with no monthly service fees. Doesn't tell about how it's going to help you if you get in a wreck or anything like that. It mostly looks like diagnostics. I mean, look here. It's got a compass, engine check. Oh, it does have something for Wi-Fi for the vehicle. Have to look more into this as it becomes available. I'll have a link-up for it in the show notes. I'm sure these folks will be at CES. They'll be on one of my top priority lists being able to see for the show to get more information. All right, there's a game that I used to play. This is non-techie. And I have to share this with you. There's a game that when I was whenever I'd go to Thailand, if you go into any bar, any restaurant, they have two games. They have Connect Four. Yes, you know that game where you drop checkers in and you try to Connect Four. And they have another game. I call it something different, but the article calls it Jenga. J-E-N-G-A. J-E-N-G-A. And what it is, it's where you take blocks. You stack three one way, three the other, and it's just like you stack them up to a pretty high height. I don't know, you do it, go 10, 12 rows. And then you have to start pushing blocks out one by one, okay? And the really object is you push one out, your opponent pushes another one out, and you try to be the one that doesn't unstable the stack. And then we know the person that causes the stack to fail or to fall over loses. I have a really nice kit. Mine's got really nice bricks. I spent a little bit of money on it when I was in Thailand. And the kids love it. We have a great time with it. It's, you know, something you sit around the kitchen table with and do a little bit of a challenge. But what I saw today is called the Jenga pistol. Oh my goodness. And really, this probably should be outlawed for any hardcore Jenga player, because what this does is you hold it up close to the block that you want to push out, and you pull the trigger, and it's tied to a rubber band, and it basically hits the block with the tip of it just enough to repel it out. And I'm sure your opponents will call foul unless they get to use it, but this guy could probably, if he made one of these and made them available, I'd buy one. But it just amazes me. Once you guys see this, you guys are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But I saw this today over on OGizmo, and I just had to share it with you. I really did, because if you haven't ever played this game before, it's just one of those games. It's a lot of fun to play with the kids. And again, it's one of the two games you always see out on the bar in Thailand. It's Connect Four and this game called Jenga. So link will be up in the show notes. Now, as we talked about a couple of shows ago, I talked about buying a new point-and-shoot camera. And you know, one of the big things about having, you know, here's the debate. You've got your mobile phone. You can take a picture. You can send that picture immediately to Flickr. You have a point-and-shoot camera, and unless you have an iFi card in it, you can click and take a picture. And if it's got an iFi card, you can blast it off somewhere as long as you've got Wi-Fi connectivity. You know, today, you see these, quite literally, when I was in Best Buy picking out a camera, I think I counted about 40 to 50 different camera choices out there. Can you imagine if they had one that was net connected? Let's say they made a deal with a carrier where all you had to, you know, basically you like $5 a month or something like that. Can you imagine how many people would buy that camera instead of using, you know, because the cell phone cameras are okay, but they don't take as good a picture as a nice real, you know, a nice point and shoot with a real nice lens. And can you imagine having a data plan where it actually, every time you took a picture, it automatically just started sending it to your service if you so choose to send it there, like Flickr or any type of the other photo sharing sites? Why hasn't the camera folks done these with point-and-shoot cameras? You would think that would be the next step, wouldn't you? And both the folks over at TechCrunch and also over on Technologizer.com basically brought up the same exact point here over the last couple of days. And I kept thinking about it. I said, yeah, it makes sense. How come there is no data plan? Maybe people wouldn't pay for it. I don't know. But I guess maybe people are saying, okay, the pictures I need to get up quickly, I just use my mobile phone, and those pictures I need to have that I take with a point-and-shoot, those can wait. But we live in a pretty real world these days. I guess it also probably has a dependency on age as well. I'm sure it would be a factor in that. All right, on ubergizmo.com, hey, leave it to some folks to really think of these things. But a company from Las Vegas decided now it's a good time to make a name for themselves, flying, basically making available to folks that fly a lot, a special set of underwear that you would wear that protects certain vital parts of your body from having x-ray exposure. And it's got a little bit of a some sort of a material there that blocks the scanner. You know, I think if you were to wear one of these sold by this company, and first of all, I was trying to figure out if this was a joke or not, but the first thing you're going to do is get hauled out of the line and go get strip searched. I'm sure they're not going to find this very amusing, but another way to make your folks at TSA upset buying these from your company in Las Vegas. All right, Shuttle Discovery is repaired and ready to go. Again, this December 3rd launch, no earlier than 07:53 Eastern Standard Time. 2:52 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So another night launch. See, I thought we were done with night launches, but this shift in time has allowed for another night launch. So this is, if you want to catch probably one of the last shuttle launches at night, this will be it on December 3rd. Got a good space picture from the Hubble. I'll have this up in the show notes for you if you wanted to check out the image of the day. This is the ghoulish beauty of the Cone Nebula. And I think I've seen this one before, but this is a site that I follow. So anyway, image of the day. Good NASA picture from the Hubble. Here on the science front, there's another good article today that's going to make you guys scratch your head just a little bit. This is an article over on universetoday.com. And here's, the theory is that when our universe was formed, it was formed by the Big Bang, right? And ever since that time, the universe has been expanding, and we don't know into what. And there's been, a lot of discussion about this. You know, scientists are claiming to have seen evidence of time before the Big Bang. And they're now promoting a idea of a cyclical universe. One of the great physicists of our time, his name's Roger Penrose, from the University of Oxford, has published a new paper saying that circular patterns seen in the WMAP mission, this is where they have the satellite up there that is doing a cosmic microwave of the background noise of the universe, suggests that space and time perhaps did not originate at the Big Bang, but that our universe continually cycles through a series of what he calls aeons, A-E-O-N-S, and we have an eternal cyclical cosmos. And his paper refutes the ideas of inflation. This, in other words, the inflation of the universe, where it's a pretty widely accepted theory of a rapid expansion immediately following the Big Bang with the continued expansion of the universe. Penrose says that the inflation cannot account for the very low entropy state in which the universe was thought to have been created. So this is a little bit controversial, to say the least. But they are making these statements here. I guess this was microwave data from YMAP. Maybe this wasn't actually space. This is ground-based in Antarctica. Excuse me. I thought this was an actual satellite taking this. But this new theory even projects how distant future might emerge, where things will again be similar to the beginnings of the universe at the Big Bang, where the universe was smooth as opposed to the current jagged form. So this is big. So I have this up in the show notes. You can read through the whole thing. And I'm definitely going to be reading his full article that basically lays out his thoughts here. So spinning science on its head on a day-to-day basis. All right. You know, what's kind of odd is when I'm in Honolulu, I don't ever hear, you hear about a celebrity once in a while coming to Hawaii. But generally, my wife's going to have to wait, honey, I'm doing the show. Generally, the celebrities have their own private estates, and they're behind locked gates. But I keep hearing about more and more artists having studios in Hawaii. And Kanye West, who we're just talking about, I probably destroyed his first name, having a studio in Hawaii. I heard about one big country star having a private studio as well. Boy, I tell you what, I'm going to see if I can start to snoop around and see if I can find out how many of these little private studios are in Hawaii. And maybe if I play my cards right, of course, I have to pronounce their names right to make this happen. But maybe I can start getting some inside looks at some of these studios that are supposedly in Honolulu. And I've heard like two or three of them just this week. And my wife is, what's she saying? Can I join San? Oh, I have to send a text here mid-show, folks. Yes, of course. Doing show. We have a membership at Costco, and I had a business membership, but we haven't been using it so much. So what we planned on doing, and what she did here a couple of days ago, is she moved our executive membership down to a regular membership, saving us the difference of what it would cost to get a Sam's membership. So now we're going to have both a Sam's and a Costco membership. So we talked about this. I don't know why she asked me. You know, fellas, on small things like that, does your wife do the same thing? I always tell her, you know, you don't please. We've been married 16 years. Don't ask. You know, it's okay. Go ahead. Don't, you know. She's just being considerate. I know. I guess maybe guys are more compulsive. I don't know. Love to hear you guys' feedback. Do you guys just, you know, if there's something like that, is that a joint decision, or is that one where if the significant other did it and came home and said, oh, by the way, honey, I joined Sam's today, would it be a big fight? For me, it's like, it's not a big deal. It really, really isn't. Okay, we talked about it already before, so I guess we did have a discussion about it, but why is she asking me again? I'm a hypocrite. Okay, so anyway, let's move on the tech. All right. I found a cool iPhone app the other day, but there's a new one out too with Amazon. It's called the Price Check app. And in getting ready to go out and go shopping, make sure you download this, okay? Get it, and that way you can basically scan it and then check it. It'll check the price and see if you can find one cheaper. Another app that I've been using is called Red Laser. So you're going to need these for your Black Friday when you're shopping and you go into a store and you just got to have it. You can use Red Laser or you can use this new Amazon Price Check app. You can scan the barcode, look at the price that they're charging you, see if you can get it cheaper online. Those of you that live in the lower 48, usually you can get it shipped probably cheaper than what maybe the store is making it available to you. So, of course, they're making it very easy for you to buy immediately. And at the same time, this Red Laser app, I've been using this, and this is great for in grocery stores and different places. It actually does breakdowns and gives you calorie counts and everything else. So I really like this Red Laser app for the iPhone. And what are you guys using for? Are you guys using any type of apps like that? What are you guys using to stay ahead of the vendors during your Christmas shopping? Now, here's the thing I used to my advantage. I actually went into a store, and it was a big chain, and I was looking at a particular item. I scanned it with Red Laser. Red Laser told me of some surrounding stores that had the price, or had the item I was looking at, about $6 cheaper. So I basically took the product with me to the sales counter, and when I got there, I said, "Listen, I did a check around, and I found this product $6 cheaper at a competitor's price." And I showed them the phone, the price, and the company that they were familiar with, and they price matched on the spot. So save yourself some money, okay? Use these tools to your advantage, and you know. A couple of years ago, we would probably I'll go two or three different places. And by the time you went to two or three different places, you've spent gas, time, money, you know, all that stuff. Save time, use these apps, okay? So a Price Check by Amazon is available. And of course, the the red laser that I just suggested as well. All right. Over on Dave Weiner's site, he's talking, got a pretty good article about using S3 to store a complete site. And talking about a complete website. And I thought, how are you doing that? So apparently, there's a guy by the name of Chuck Shotton who has come up with a tutorial on how to host a static, in other words, a site that's not updating very often, in S3. And this is very cool. Actually, Joe Moreno has actually posted the article, and he was working with, Dave was working with a guy by the name of Chuck Shotton. But anyway, Joe Moreno has mastered this art, and he has submitted a how-to about it. And if you've got an S3 bucket, this is going to be something you may want to check out. Again, as for a site that doesn't update very often, maybe it's an older site that you've created, and you're maybe on a new CMS, you want to archive somewhere, this might be an interesting way to do it. But anyway, I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. I have all the links to the articles. Over on Fast Company, you know, Twitter, right? We get a little old on Twitter. I Twitter, but boy, I mean, it's like people are fanatics about Twitter. I mean, it's a little bit extreme at this point. Fast Company has an article about how Twitter was used extensively in the 75 minutes before the 2010 MTV Video Music Awards to really promote and get people to come on and watch the national event. And they talk about how they had Twitter co-founder Evan Williams there along with Costello, this now CEO, to help with the, I don't know if, what their, I guess they got free passes. But there's this like three-page article. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And how Twitter made this MTV Video Music Award such a success. And it's a great piece, but it's to a certain extent a little bit Twitter overload. That's what it is to me. But if you're interested in these types of marketing events and how it was successful on MTV, definitely check the article out. Walt Mossberg over at Google, or at Wall Street Journal, is saying Google TV, no need to tune in just yet. He has a pretty good article about that. This came up here a few days ago. Link will be up in the show notes. Apparently, there's a big space launch in Florida here either today or yesterday, where a Delta IV Heavy rocket blasted off with an unknown cargo, supposedly with the biggest satellite ever to be to launch. And you can only think that it's our government at work. But this is an article over on the BBC, so your taxpayer dollars are putting something into space. All right, here's the article I just had to talk about in the beginning of the show. Wi-Fi is killing trees. Well, according to CNET, over on Crave, the gadget blog from CNET, the tree-loving folks of Dutch city Alphen aan den Rijn commissioned a study whose results have not yet been published, but the findings are saying they're finding abnormalities on trees that couldn't be explained by known viral or bacterial infections. The only difference is that these particular trees were close to Wi-Fi towers. And apparently, Wi-Fi was making the trees sick. Now, anytime you have something that is transmitting with power, any type of RF, you're definitely going to affect humans. You're going to, if you're too close, you're going to affect any type of living organism. It's, you know, anytime you're putting, you know, amount of power on a particular signal could cause trouble. But it's apparently the study is finding that Wi-Fi is killing trees. So that'll be the next thing, folks. They'll be banning our Wi-Fi. No Wi-Fi transmitter within 500 feet of any tree. Our AT&T, boy, their marketing engine is ramped up. I think they're worried about the impact Verizon is going to have on them here in the near future. But AT&T is boasting that they have 20 to 60% faster wireless speeds than any of their competitors. I don't know. AT&T and Money announced the results of testing from Global Wireless Solutions. Though the carrier did not specifically name Verizon, noted that the largest competitor by subscriber count had 60% slower network than AT&T. Being that Verizon is the largest carrier in the U.S. in terms of subscribers, that was probably who they were referring to. Said the third-party test also found that the nearest competitor in terms of wireless speed was 20% lower than AT&T's network on an average nationality. That's probably talking about Sprint. AT&T noted it invested nearly $6 billion in wireless initiatives in 2010. That's a 55% increase. Well, they had to. You know, they had to invest. They're going to have to continue to invest. They should have been investing a lot more. AT&T boasted its networks allowed customers to download 40 megabyte MP3 albums more than a minute faster than the next fastest unnamed network. I just don't believe their network's fast that much faster. Not based on what I see with Sprint and Verizon and what I get out of my phone. I really don't. So, what's your guys' thoughts? You think they're 20 to 60% faster than any of the other competitors? I think it's stretching a lot. Okay, here's, I actually got an email on this too. The FCC chair has blasted Verizon on net neutrality. He's also saying that net neutrality rules will happen. And they didn't write in a timeline, but I did get some email talking about a timeline where they may be sneaking in a meeting here close to the end of, actually, today or tomorrow before the holiday to make the announcement to, you know, basically get through the holiday period without, too much oversight. So we'll see what comes out of this. But I'll have this link up in the show notes. But the FCC is promising more. Come on strong with net neutrality. Hey, you know, the CEO of these backscatter scanners, did you know he just got back from Mumbai with the president, that he had traveled with the president out to Mumbai for the U.S.-India Business Entrepreneurship Meeting? I didn't know that CEOs of companies got to travel with the president like that, but apparently he did. So we know that the president has come out and defended the TSA, while at the same time saying that, you know, there needs to be some look into a more reasonable search, supposedly. But it is kind of interesting that the person at the center of the controversy, or the CEO at the center of this controversy of these scanners, has been traveling with the president. I guess, you know, tight coalition with the U.S. government. I guess that how you get to the inner circle of having a product that upsets the majority of the people that are, well, I shouldn't say the majority. They're saying that there's only a small minority of us that don't care for the backscatter stuff. All right, the FCC is updating 911 for texting generation. Now, this is pretty cool. Check this out. The FCC established the 911 program in 1968. The 911 system today handles more than 230 million calls a year, 70% of which come from mobile phones. And I've actually made a couple of 911 calls from my own mobile phone. He says that they say that the last real overhaul of 911 came in 2001, where mobile carriers were required to allow 911 to identify the location of callers through GPS or cell tower data. Now, what they want to do is, in a press release announcing the changes, the FCC is pointing to the now infamous shooting rampage at Virginia Tech, an example of how more modern systems could be used. So the technical limitations of 911 can have tragic real-world consequences. And they say that during the 2007 shoots, his witnesses desperately tried to send texts to 911 that local dispatchers never received. You know, the kids were sending to 911 instead of calling to 911. So what they're going to do now is that they want to allow the automated pinging of 911. Now, this is, check this out, listen closely. They want to allow the automated pinging of 911 by sensors, including chemical detection sensors, alarm systems, medical devices, and systems like OnStar and automobiles. They want people to be able to text to 911 or even send video directly from their phone to 911. Considering the speed of video transfer, please call 911. Don't send a video. But the thing that really piqued my interest here is I thought this is cool that they're going to expand this the usage of 911. Although, you know, you can say a lot more, a lot faster talking with someone than texting something. So, I don't know if I agree with this. I don't want my life to depend upon someone telling where I'm at by directions by 911. But if the phone can send the location, that would be cool. If that happened in the 911 transmission, that would be all right. But here's the thing that makes you go, The FCC planned to allow systems to be pinged through chemical detection sensors. So it must be they have chemical detection sensors all over the place that now call home to mama somehow. But this would be a new way to detect something in the air that's not supposed to be there. And, you know, phones calling 911 on their behalf via, you know, instead of through OnStar, it just calls 911 when you've been in a wreck. So interesting move here. Viacom has confirmed blocking access to full episodes on Google TV, so you no longer can get Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and Viacom's other networks. Those have all been pulled and blocked by them, so you cannot get access via Google TV. All right, we're here in an hour. Let me go ahead and get into the email and voicemail calls that have come in. Again, if you want to comment on the show, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Emails, again, are geeknews@gmail.com. And let me go ahead here and play the first voicemail.
On the podcast, but I did want to let you know that I thank you very much for the work that you do.
Okay, he said he didn't want it to be played on the show, so I apologize. I started playing that. I'm going to stop. I don't know what exactly he's going to talk about. I'll go and play that later. Thanks for telling me up front, Mike, that you didn't want it played, so I didn't get too far into it. Let me go ahead and get into the second voicemail call. Here we go.
Hey, Todd, it's Jan Wiedrich-Kozlowski calling. Hey, I'm calling on behalf of Cisco.
Oh, man, another one. We don't want to do that either. I know who Jan is, and actually, I'm glad. Jan, thanks for calling, but your secret almost got out live here on the show, so we don't. Jan, please call my cell, all right, at 808-741-4923. Don't call the voicemail hotline with that information. We almost, the scoop almost got out. Jan's got me working on a article we'll be posting on December 2nd about something exciting Cisco has coming. And that was funny. Okay, so there was one voicemail and one almost inadvertent release of information here. Let me go ahead and get into the email comments. I know these are all show safe. I got an email here from Luke. He says, "Hey, Todd, duh. Sorry, I've been playing with my Boxy today and trying to learn how to use it, and wow, I have found that I have 183 app channels, mainly Blueberry and Tech Podcast apps. They work great. So much on there, and then all of the TV shows, then the movies. Well, how much I have to agree with you about how this is going to change if we watch content. As I'm over in the UK, I think the listings are different to what you get. I'm able to get all the UK-based TV programs, and as we do not have Netflix over here yet, still waiting, but I've read somewhere that we have a company called Love Film is owned by Netflix, but good news is that when I updated my PS3 last week, they're now doing the streaming films only via post before, so maybe they're on the way too. So safe travels to you, Luke, in the UK. Hey, great. I'm glad you're like, we're going to be updating the Boxy apps. They definitely need a little bit of a refresh based upon what we're seeing when we're looking at them on a big flat screen TV. But thanks for the feedback. That's great stuff. I definitely appreciate it and hope that you enjoy watching this show on your Boxy box. And for the Boxy box is $200. The Roku is $59. Great, great Christmas gifts, folks, for yourselves or for a friend or family member. Got an email here from Max. Hey, Todd, found an article that could practically have been written by me, given the last email to you on the subject. And this is a Guardian.co.uk article about the TSA stuff. Despite how I feel about it, I can still see some humor in the manner attached as a pic I found on a website that brought a smile to my face. Hope you get the humor too. And Max. Yeah, Max, we won't share that one with the audience, but we will share with the link that you provided me. Thanks for that. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, Todd, FCC may regulate interlines before Christmas. Says, this comes from thehill.com. The Federal Communications Commission has a Christmas gift in store for the phone and cable industry. It may move ahead on its controversial net neutrality regulations 3 days before Christmas. I thought it was right before Thanksgiving, so good correction here. An FCC source confirmed on Friday that the commission plans to push its December meeting back a week, meaning it will fall on the 22nd of the month. That's the same meeting in which analysts say the agency may move forward on its controversial net neutrality proposal. Though the FCC has not confirmed that it will vote on net neutrality this year, rumors are still swirling that it will. The timing of the meeting is already raising eyebrows. Some see it as a way to move the matter along before the GOP assumes a majority and while Congress is not in session to criticize the effort. Representative Cliff Stearns, Republican of Florida, ranking member of the Telecom Subcommittee, questioned the schedule on Friday. He said it appears that the chairman is trying to slip it under the radar and hope no one notices. Industry sources also suggest the political calculus is involved with the change of date for the meeting. So while many Americans will be joining their eggnog on that day, I'm sure the broadband providers won't be pleased to find this piece of coal in their stockings. I think it's going to be great to have that piece of coal in their stockings, especially if the FCC does a good job on the on their supposed net neutrality rules that they're going to come out with. Another article by Trucker Tom is, and this is entitled Socialism Rearing Its Ugly Head Again. So according to Wall Street Journal, we may all have to start paying for wind or solar energy even if we don't use it. Get to know the acronym FERC, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. According to the paper, this is from the Wall Street Journal, the commission has planned to spread the costs for the transmission lines to bring wind and solar projects to the national grid, a price tag that is likely to top $160 billion. Residents in states such as California, Oregon, New York, and Michigan will have to pay billions of dollars more in utility bills, and they won't ever see such lines. In fact, Michigan will have to pay 20% of the $16 billion projects outside of their state. Why would Michigan have to pay just 20%? This came from the Wall Street Journal. Governors in a handful of states are opposed to the plan, calling it inappropriate to assess the cost of transmission build-out to customers that cannot make use of the facilities or who elect not to because they can access more cost-effective options. So anyway, this is an article up on the Wall Street Journal. I'll have this link up in the show. Actually, not on the Wall Street Journal, Tom. Oh, part of it was from Wall Street Journal. Part of it was from Fox Business. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. But anyway, I think you're going to see this, Tom. You know, in Hawaii, my sewage bill is guaranteed to go up 3% every year for the next 10 years to pay for renovations. We're also guaranteed to pay a new surcharge on putting up a green efficiency type of powering as well. But, you know, Hawaii is on its own grid, so I will directly be rewarded for that increase in utility commission fees. Hopefully, over time, it will cause the price of energy to come down. Only time will tell. Got an email from my mom. She said, here's a simple solution to the controversy over full body scanners at airports. And she forwarded this on from a mailing list she got. She says, develop an enclosed booth that passengers step into, but instead of X-raying them when the doors closes, it will detonate any explosive device that they have hidden on their body. The explosion would be contained within the sealed booth. This would be a win-win for everyone. Mom, it doesn't quite work that way, but yes, you got to love the free thinkers on this one. Oh, yeah, you're standing next to this thing, you're next to go in, and this thing explodes. I guess, sir, you have to move the other line while we clean this one up. Got an email from Nancy. She says, Todd, you have children. If your college-aged daughter's driving and being followed by someone scary, do you want her to be able to dial 911? Absolutely, Nancy. She goes on to say, without having to pull over and shut off the car? Yeah, I want to have to shut off my car if my husband is having a heart attack. Passengers should be able to make calls. This is a bad idea. I agree, Nancy. I don't think that they should regulate us, not allowing us to use our phones. As long as we're using them safely, you know, in an emergency situation too, you know, maybe you didn't have time to grab your hands free, you know. So I understand completely where you're coming from, Nancy. Thanks for your email. Got an email here from Dale. He said, Todd, I was watching an MSN video piece on TSA body scanners and noticed a different type of body scanner, radio-based, and its corresponding video image that is used in some European airports in Amsterdam. At the 154-minute mark in the MSN video, they show the body scanner. Take a look. Could this be an alternative? I looked at this, Dale. You know what? Potentially. But, you know, this company, this CEO that's been flying around the president, I'm sure he's not worried about any contract loss anytime soon. So, but yeah, could be. But then again, they're using a radio-based type of body scanner. They're still obviously transmitting something. So only time will tell. All right, hey, everyone, thanks for the emails. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for your calling pleasure to either chew me out, contribute to the show, or whatever you want to do. We definitely appreciate all feedback and, of course, all emails as well. Be back in the studio here at the end of the week to, thank goodness, be back in Hawaii. I'm actually looking. You know what I've had to have, folks, the entire time I've been here? Where did I put it? Oh, it fell on the floor. I never have dry skin. It's actually the opposite. I usually am just oily. But I've had to, my lips have been so dry, I have been every day, 2 to 3 times, applying some advanced therapy moisturizer to keep, there is no humidity here, and it's so dry. I am way ready to get back to the nice, warm, moisture-rich, trade wind cool Honolulu. So if you're wanting to think about having a great vacation, consider coming out the islands. It's a great time to come out. The price is right. Airline tickets, as long as you don't come during a holiday period, is really good. And come out and enjoy my islands with me. And be back in Honolulu. We'll be back in the studio on Saturday. And I'm sure it's going to be crazy as I'm putting the system back together. So anyway, be back on the regular schedule next week. As always, everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourself. Drive safe. Travel safe. Enjoy your pat-downs. Love to hear your feedback after the holidays on how many of you actually got the TSA pat-down. Let me know what your experience was. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.